Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. Tanya, I feel like there's something different about today. There's something new maybe going on.
We have a new sign.
We're so fancy.
Yeah, we're super fancy. Yeah. So be looking for our pictures. If you don't watch us on YouTube and you listen to us on your podcast, then we have a new picture that has a new sign in it. And you will want to see it because it's super cool.
Yeah. We're excited.
We're excited about it. Yep. So anyway, today, what are we talking about,
Angie? We're going to talk real estate. We haven't done that for a little while.
We haven't.
And obviously, that's what we know most.
It is.
So we're going to, because we're getting into the spring selling season.
Yes.
We're going to kind of focus on sellers today, talk about some high-level things, some local things, and then maybe some things that you can do to get your house ready to put on the market.
Exactly.
So we'll kind of cover the gamut of that. So, Tanya, let's start with the National Association of Realtors. We know that real estate is local, but we also know that we have listeners from across the country, across the state. So we're going to spend just a tad bit of time talking about what's going on nationally that will affect us anywhere
Absolutely.
We are.
Everywhere.
So basically, I listened to a podcast with the National Association of Realtors economist, Lauren June, and I know you read an article that they recently put out.
Yep.
And basically, he was saying one really good thing I thought was that there is stronger builder confidence right now.
Yes.
And that, of course, is due to some lowering of interest rate that happened, you know, late last year. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess really what happened is interest rates sort of stabilized. Mm-hmm. They weren't on this giant climb like we had been on for the three quarters prior to that.
Correct. Yes.
So I think that really helped inspire builders that they're, because we certainly have the demand.
Yes.
The demand is still there.
Demand is high.
It is. And so having some builder confidence and getting some more construction going would really help all of us.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that is always a determining factor of the market.
Mm-hmm.
They are always, the powers that be are always looking at new builds and new construction to carry us into a higher and better market.
Right.
And so everybody has struggled with the higher interest rates recently in the last year, not only the builders, but just the consumer in general, because, you know, we're not getting 3% rates anymore.
Exactly.
So, and I know one other thing that I read in the article I was reading was that rents have stabilized, excuse me. And that is one of those factors that the federal government is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And rents climbed during the COVID years or after COVID and the years following that we had such a booming market.
Right.
But the rents kept going up. Yes. And so I read that those have stabilized.
Right.
And from their last report. So that will help all of these numbers coming together to, in the end, give us less inflation and give us lower interest rates.
Right.
And so what I read is that they are now predicting, and why you and I as realtors, we just don't get overly excited and expect what they say quarter to quarter because it changes.
Right.
So when we're talking to our friends and our clients and they're asking about the market, we're going to tell them what we've just heard.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 months later, that could be different.
Absolutely.
And so in this case, they had said at the end of last year when those rates started stabilizing and started dropping, they had said by May, we would see another lowering. Well, now they're pushing that back to, you said June, right?
Yeah.
So, and overall, in the article that I read, it was that we could expect sixes. I know fives had been talked about at the end of last year, and they're guessing they're not going to go into the fives because there will only be, the prediction was there would only be three actual lowering of mm-hmm. the rate. Mm-hmm. So right. that doesn't give us enough time. If we're in June, when that first rate lowering comes, right. we've only got 6 months left.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. Elliot Eisenberg, who is another economist that I follow, was talking about the jobs numbers, and that plays into what they do, you know, federally. And he said the jobs number that came out in January, once it sort of evened out, they had lower unemployment in January than what was expected. But once all the numbers actually came in and they were able to give a more realistic number of what happened, those numbers were actually higher than what they had originally said in January, which he determined would be another factor for why they may lower the rates in June.
Got it.
We've got another big factor that may play into this, and this is, you know, an election year.
It is.
You never know what's going to happen in an election year.
No.
So, but if anything was going to happen to try to get either side going, it would be another interest rate, you know, trying to really boost up the housing
Absolutely.
Market and have some kind of solution for what we're doing with the inventory.
Right.
So,
yep.
inventory shortage.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
I think that's our high-level look, and that's going to be true wherever you live. Those factors are always going to be a determinant on what they do at federally. So So let's talk about what's going on in our own backyard then.
Yeah. So tell me what the latest stats at GSBOR, which is the Greater Springfield Board of Realtors.
Right. In January, so keep in mind that Greater Springfield Board of Realtors covers three counties. That's our area. It's Christian, Greene, and Webster counties.
Right.
So we get stats for just Greene County, just Christian, just Webster, but then we get an overall view.
Right.
And so the most recent numbers we have, because February is not out yet, this was January.
Right.
Year over year, we only sold 12 more houses in January 2024 than we sold in 2023. So we're
not surprising,
up, but still, 12 houses is not anything to be excited about.
It's not. No.
Yeah. And then median price range. This one is a little interesting to me because the median price range was down just slightly. When I say that, I mean like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. That pricing is probably, it's not going to continue like it was. Again, that's another thing that's sort of stabilized.
Right.
And I would not say that just because we had a $1,000 decrease in average sale price in January, 1 month does not a trend make.
It doesn't.
Right.
No.
So we're going to have to see what February numbers look like. It's still a seller's market.
It is. It is. Our supply is still very low. And I do think that some of the consumer confidence has come back with more buyers getting into the spring market. Mm-hmm. So over the last 6 months, let's go back to, let's say, maybe September, October of last year, interest rates went up and we locally really felt a slowdown.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the last 6 months of our sales, so our newest comps, we were in a slower market and we were seeing more price reductions. We were seeing longer days on market.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a lot of those buyers and sellers pull out of the market because interest rates went up. Oh my gosh. I mean, in some cases, if they'd been looking for a while, their payment could have substantially went up.
Absolutely.
So that is a big factor in what we'll be looking at this spring when the new listings come into the market. Our last 6 months was not plentiful. So appraisers always tell me that for good data, they want to see what's happened in the last 6 months. But they have a lot of levity in actually finding good homes that compare to their subject home.
Right.
So they would go back a year and maybe they would find more comps in that 1 year margin than they would in the last 6 months. So I think that's something that we're going to struggle with a little bit as we're doing our comps in this spring season.
Yes.
Is we're going to have to look a little further back, but so are they. And we try to mimic what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and if you're a seller out there thinking about putting your home on the market, a couple of things that you really should know. Tanya mentioned days on market, and that is up as well.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it takes a long time for information to get out to the consumer.
It does.
Especially if the only resource you have from that is a national news station,
right,
and you're not paying attention to what goes on locally. And So we need to make the point that while there was a time that your house would sell within 2 days of when you put it on the market,
right,
now the average is more like 36 days.
Yes.
So don't get antsy if you decide to put your house on the market and you don't get an offer in the first two days. Where our market has changed. And that is one of the hardest things, I think, for realtors to figure out is when the market is changing, like you said, do they know enough to go back a little further than 3 months? Because you're right. I mean, if you try to find something at this point, you know, we'd be going back to December, January timeframe within 3 months, and you're just not going to find much.
No.
You go back 6 months, you're going to find a little bit more. So, and appraisers do try to go within 6 months for their most recent comps.
Yeah.
You're right. They've got some leeway in terms of what they can do, as long as they can substantiate what it is they're bringing that value in at.
Yeah.
And you know, a good realtor will definitely not just go back 6 months, but go back a little further to try to accommodate, like you said, what actually is going on in the market.
Exactly. So in talking about all of that, if we're setting the expectation, which is what our job is, so we as the realtor are trying to provide our seller with the most recent information as far as comparables go. Most important thing, they want to know price. We're also, it's our job to tell them what the last 6 months have been like, and and that we have been in a slightly depressed market with less buyers. However, we are heading into our strongest selling season.
Absolutely.
Spring and summer are always, most always, our strongest selling season. And so we're excited to finally get here, right? We're glad the last 6 months is now behind us. We, our interest rates have been hovering around 6 to 7-ish, somewhere in there. And I think that, I think the consumer is getting more comfortable with that.
Absolutely.
I think we're all having to wrap our mind around this is
what it's going to be.
Yes. Yeah. And it's still lower than the 20, 25 year average.
Yeah. Which is 8%.
Exactly.
And it just takes people a while to adjust. It was sort of a shock to the system when you're used to 3 and 4. That is not maintainable. You're not. That's not realistic to think that that's going to go on forever.
No.
But the problem was it shot up so much, you know, quickly. Just every time the Fed met, it was a rise in the base rate, and so it really caused concern. But now, I think people have just accepted that. You know, if they get a 6 or 6.5, that's still a decent rate.
Yep.
And it's really probably where we should be. Banks need to make money.
Yes.
We need to be able to make our mortgage payments within reason.
Right.
And so I think, you know, obviously it'd be awesome if it got down in the fives. But I think we just need to be realistic. And I think that's what our buyers are seeing now. They're they're starting to, after the shock to the system has worn off, now they're starting to get into the they know that this is what it's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. And therefore, the confidence comes back because people are always going to need or want to buy and sell, you know? And I have seen several listings that I've had recently with people moving from out of state. They have sat on the fence for about 6 months. Or a year. One of these couples have been looking for a house for 2 years. And it's not my buyer, so I don't know the circumstances behind that. But when they saw the listing that I had, it was the house. And they were thrilled because they've spent 2 years, probably, I'm going to guess, getting beat out by a lot of buyers because we had such a heavy amount of buyers in the market before interest rates really flew up. So I think it's, you know, it's a new normal. I think in this business, we laugh when we say the word normal because there's no normal anymore. But I think that overall, the confidence is coming back and it will be a great season of selling this
year. I think so too.
Yeah.
And you know, Tanya, I do want to say that because this just happened to me recently, we still have certain segments of the market where we are getting multiple offers.
Yes,
that is still happening. You know, if you're in that 200-ish range or under, obviously, and your house is in a good condition and it's in the right location, we're getting, the last one I had, we had 7 offers. We had 22 showings in 2 days and 7 yeah. offers. And so that's still out there. I just don't, it's not the norm
it's
overall.
Not. I agree.
On the average home.
I agree. Yeah. It's not. And I think for a lot of sellers, it's hard to come out of that mentality because their neighbor sold 2 years ago
right.
and they had 12 offers and they sold it in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It's just not where we're at, especially
right.
in different price points. So
right.
yes.
Yeah.
So you mentioned if you're in the right, if you have the right condition in the right mm-hmm. location.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the things that we as agents are going to preach, if you will,
mm-hmm.
when we go in to tell a seller how to get their house ready mm-hmm. to put it on the market.
Yeah.
What are the most important things that you point out?
Well, first of all, first impressions are everything, right?
They are.
And people
yes.
are sensitive to smell.
Yes.
They're sensitive to what they see when they first walk in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, depending on what your house looks like or how it's designed, if you have a, let's say, a skinny entryway, mm-hmm. Just a foyer, I really tell my clients to take as much as they can out of that because
yeah.
I want them to get this feeling when they walk in of space.
Yes.
And if you've got a lot of stuff on the walls and big furniture right when you walk in, which means you kind of have to, you know, maneuver around to get into the rest of the house,
right.
it just feels cut off and closed.
Yes.
And then, like I said, smell is one that just everybody's super sensitive. And it's hard. I've got a client right now that has asked me, okay, we were told that the candle or whatever it was she was burning was it was a little offensive. And so she was like, well, what kind of scent? And I'm like, the only thing I could, and you will see if you agree with this. The only thing I could think to say to her was the most pleasant smell to most people is something that feels like baking, kind of like mm-hmm. vanillas and mm-hmm. apples. And that seems to be mm-hmm. in general, the scent that most people don't have.
It's
pleasing.
Cause
yeah.
it's food, right?
Yeah.
We all love food.
We do.
When we walked in here today, Kate has got some mm-hmm. delicious candle burning
absolutely.
In there that you want
yes.
to eat.
Yeah.
But it's pleasing. And you said, I just feel good in this space.
Yes.
So
yeah.
How someone feels in your house is really important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about clean.
Yeah. It's different for everybody.
So you're clean, my clean, Jordan's clean. It's all going to be
yeah.
different, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I often think it's really hard for a seller who clean is not their thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can pick, everybody can pick up, everybody can straighten, everybody can put away
right.
and pack up.
Yes.
But not everybody is great at cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say clean, I come from a family of anal cleaners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's probably a hashtag somewhere.
and
so I'm looking at your trim. I'm
yeah.
looking at your fans and
mm-hmm.
your light fixtures.
Yes.
I'm looking
yes.
at your grills
mm-hmm.
of your return air vents.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're filthy,
yeah.
I know you're not very clean.
Yeah.
Because that drives me crazy. But again, I come from the hashtag anal
mm-hmm.
cleaners.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at more deep clean stuff.
Yeah.
When I'm walking through a property
mm-hmm.
because it's, I think the easy part is to vacuum your carpet.
Yeah.
Wipe off your counters,
sure.
clean your toilet.
Sure.
I think those are obvious things.
Yeah.
So,
but we don't look up, right? We've got this line of sight that's
yes.
right in front of us. So we don't look
yes.
up, we don't look down.
Yes.
So those are often missed items.
Yes. And
yeah.
and sometimes it's hard to have that conversation with
for
a
sure.
dirty housekeeper.
Yeah.
And we've all been on that listing appointment and
yeah.
we've all shown that house. That
yes.
the house cleaning is just not taking place.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, how that buyer feels when
mm-hmm.
they come in,
mm-hmm.
if they're one of those anal cleaners,
yeah.
They have got to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So the smell,
mm-hmm.
the overall cleanliness of the house
yeah.
is going to be important. And it's also going to let them know if you are not cleaning all of those deep cleaning items.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not cleaning my trim and my fans every month.
Yeah.
You know, no,
yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But if you're skipping over those things and then you've just kind of swept up.
Yeah.
Their first question is going to be, what else have they let go?
Exactly.
And they're going to notice all of those little
mm-hmm.
things. So
mm-hmm.
for me, clean and picked up and packed away, or that is one of the essential things you've got to do.
I absolutely agree. And it starts even before you get in the house. One of my pet peeves is when I walk up to the house and the lockbox, if it's sitting on the ground, has cobwebs all around it. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the first message that's going to give to that buyer?
That they're not getting showings.
Yeah. So that tells the buyer that, oh, they're not getting showings, so maybe they would just take a lesser offer.
Yep.
That's what that message is conveying.
Yep.
So, yeah, look at your screen doors, make sure they're wiped down, because I want to feel good about the house before I even walk in. And if there's cobwebs on the front stoop or porch and your
leaves
glass
and dirty,
and your glass has fingerprints all over it, then I'm already...
Eh. Agree.
Yeah.
And that is the first impression.
Yeah.
I was going to add to your first impression. I always encourage my sellers to power wash if need be. Yeah. I know there's things around my house that need power wash, and I'm not selling my house.
Yeah.
So power wash, at least blow off your front porch and your leaves and make it look like, make it inviting. So if you have chairs out there, freshen up your cushions, freshen up your rug, put a live plant out there.
Right.
Easier said than done in the warm months. In the winter months, you can't exactly do that.
Right. Right.
But you can decorate for winter months too.
Right.
They just need to feel good when they step on your porch.
Yeah.
Remulch, that's a big thing. It looks terrible after the winter.
Yeah.
Remulch a few new bags and a few new plants. And, you know, that's so important.
Yeah. Because let's think about that buyer. While we're trying to get into the lockbox, and it could take a few minutes sometimes.
They're standing there looking around.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Better make it pleasing for what they have to look at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suggest your sellers clean their windows?
It depends on the time of year.
Yes.
And really, I'm going to probably make that determine. That's one that sometimes I will and sometimes I won't.
Yeah. I agree. I think it does. And it depends on the house, too.
Yes.
Sometimes if you've got big picture windows and that is a selling point of the house, you've got to encourage them to get them cleaned or to clean them.
Yes.
And clean them yourself. I've got all those tools.
Yes.
I just don't like doing that.
No. No, me either.
Okay, but what else? We've said first impression.
When you get in the house, first impression. You've got to try to capture them when they first walk in the door. And then beyond that, you know, then it becomes kind of general rules of thumb that I think all of us use. You're going to be moving. You need to get in the mindset that this is no longer your house. You're renting it until the next buyer comes along.
Yep.
So pack up what you don't use.
That's
just go ahead and put it. I don't even care if you pack it in the garage.
Right.
I'd rather you do that than leave it out. But best case scenario is you get a storage unit or you get someplace, a pod or something to put your excess stuff. And because you need to make your house look as open and airy as possible. Make sure you leave blinds open and lights on if you can.
Yep. Take furniture out.
Yes.
Pieces of furniture throughout the house to declutter and make rooms look larger.
Right.
Sometimes that also requires staging a little bit. If you have a seller that doesn't really have, you know, many rooms decorated, let's say they got a divorce and half the house is cleaned out.
Yeah.
A room with nothing in it is sometimes better than having, you know, some junky furniture in there or just one random piece of furniture. So looking at it overall from a perspective of what is going to show the best, we can usually give good recommendations as far as that goes on every house, and every house is so different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I also wanted to mention, we talked about front porch and first impression. The back porch sometimes is the last impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And depending on what you've got in your backyard, outside and outdoor entertaining these days is huge.
Absolutely.
It's a huge factor in building new homes. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of builders are bidding that square footage now as part of the overall square footage of the house because people want outdoor fireplaces and they want outdoor kitchens or they want a screened-in porch. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got, even if you don't have a great back deck, back patio, back whatever, make it great because your buyer could be an outdoor entertainer.
Right.
And if they see that it has potential, then that could be a great selling point. If you have a great deck or great patio, stage it.
Yes.
Make it look like you spend every evening out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather they do that than spend time staging these empty rooms like you talked about.
Agreed.
I'd rather have them, if it's mostly an empty house, depending on the situation, I'd rather have some furniture in the main living areas and then really focus on staging the front and the back porch or deck or whatever you've got.
Because many times it is the last place that
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
What are we leaving off here, Angie?
Well, obviously for women, we're always drawn to countertops. So making sure that every appliance you can put away, that you put
yes.
away. I realize a lot of people use their coffee pots every morning, but if you can put those down when you're done with them,
right.
the more space that you can show in your on your kitchen countertops and bathroom countertops, the better off you're going to be. And men are drawn to garages and outdoor
right.
space. Storage units,
yes.
sheds, whatever.
Yeah.
So keep those things in mind too.
Yeah. There's really,
and it doesn't, I'm sorry, I was just going to say garage. It can be full as long
yes.
as it's organized.
Agree. That's what I usually say too. If you don't have the opportunity to move stuff offsite,
mm-hmm.
then make it look organized and make sense in the garage. And
right.
that's okay. I've had many sellers over the years say, we just don't have room, and they're packed to the gills. We don't have room to put anything anywhere. Can we load one bedroom up? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, load it up enough to make sense, make it neat, make it viewable where people can see the opportunity in there.
Make sure I can still get to windows
That's
and
right.
get to closets. And other than that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the last things to mention that sellers always need to pay attention to, and something that I always like to tell them is, I want you to spend as little money as possible to mm-hmm. get you out of this
yes.
house.
Yes.
And sometimes spending as little money as possible means you're putting a lot of sweat equity into
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
So you're cleaning,
mm-hmm.
you're maybe repainting a room.
Right.
You're doing recaulking.
Mm-hmm.
You're making things look nice and fresh. You're mm-hmm. decluttering.
Right.
But doing repairs and small repairs add up to a
they
lot
do.
On an inspection.
They do.
So how many times have we had an inspection come back that magnificent home,
mm-hmm.
but you've got 72 items on the repair list
right.
because they just simply have not walked through with different eyes
mm-hmm.
at any point to
right.
do those tiny little repairs.
Right.
And it's really important. And walking around the outside, that's really important too.
Absolutely.
You see
yeah.
chipping and peeling paint.
Mm-hmm.
You see rotten boards possibly.
Mm-hmm.
It helps for a eyeball like ours to
mm-hmm.
get on it because they're used to seeing all this and thinking, I'll fix that one day.
Right.
But
right.
the more bang for your buck comes from doing those little minor things to mm-hmm. begin with.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm kind of like you. I'm not going to advise that you do one, you know, a big major overhaul if it's not something that is critically important
right.
or it's just a matter of taste.
Right. Agreed.
Because somebody else, the next buyer, may mm-hmm. want to come in and completely redo it anyway.
Agreed.
So yeah, trying to keep those repairs to a minimum, what they're spending to a minimum.
Right.
But we're also, sometimes we do have to tell people that they need to do a major repair or
yeah.
upgrade or something before
yeah.
it's even going to have a chance in the market.
Sometimes.
Because we see houses every day.
Yes.
We know what's out there on the market. And so when we're giving that advice, it's based on the fact that we're in, you know, several homes a week or, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we know what the buyer's expectation
yes.
is.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, folks, the buyers of yesteryear, like 20 years ago, they are gone.
Yeah.
People's expectations these days are probably too high.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we're all very spoiled.
Yeah.
But that cannot be discounted when you're ready to put your house on the market. And
right.
hopefully your agent is educating you on that. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a 1980s house and you've not done one update
mm-hmm.
and your neighbor sold their house for $100,000 more than what I'm telling you your house is worth, it could be because they redid all the bathrooms, they redid all the flooring, they
right.
redid all the paint, they redid the kitchen.
Right.
So it we'd never recommend you go in and do that, but there's reality of what the expectation will be
right.
from the buyer.
Right.
And many people move into those 80s houses and don't do one thing.
Exactly.
They live with it just like it is.
Yeah.
But our buyers are very picky.
Yeah.
And expect a lot.
They want to do whatever they want to do on the weekends. They do not want to spend time painting and updating and or finding somebody to do those things. They want to they want it move in ready when they move in, when they pick a house. That's what they're looking for
most of the time.
The generally speaking, the buyers of today just want something that's ready to go.
Okay. I agree with that. Okay, I have some FSBO stats.
Before you go there, can I just say there are only in Green or in Springfield right now, and this is going to be broadcast a little later than what we're recording, so the number will be a little different, but 374 houses on the market in Springfield. That's it. 374 in Springfield. 566 in the county, Greene County. In all of Greene County, folks, let's think about that. That's Ash Grove, Willard, Walnut Grove, you know, Rogersville.
Yeah, Stratford.
Stratford. 566 homes. So, you know, if you're thinking about getting on the market, you really don't want to wait until like May. Everybody thinks wait until, you know, April, May, June.
Right.
Don't wait.
No, don't
wait. You need to get that house ready to go, get it on the market now, and get ahead of whatever, you know, influx of listings we do have. It's just advantageous for you to get on the market now.
Exactly. And keep in mind, if you're waiting to put it on the market, and, you know, timing is everything for everybody, and, and everybody's got a timeline they're working on. But if you're waiting to put it on, then you're going to be putting it on potentially when everybody else is putting it on. So listings are selling right now because that buyer confidence has come back and the buyers are back. So they're make sure you're calling your agent and asking, is now the time, and get them in for a consult so you can know when and what is going on in the market.
Exactly.
So I read a realtor article, and this is a book we all get as realtors, and it was on for sale by owners, or sale by owners, and the title is Sellers Who Regret Not Using a Real Estate Agent. So when we tell you that it is in your best interest to hire a realtor, it is because that is our profession, and we do know how to advise you, coach you, negotiate for you. We know how to do all the things to provide you value. But what is interesting, and I always find these articles interesting, when there are numbers behind the for sale by owners and how they felt afterwards. So I'm just going to read some highlights really quickly. So this was basically done by homeowners who declined to use a real estate agent to sell their property, and they were twice as likely to say they weren't satisfied with the selling experience. Survey respondents said they realized they likely made less money on their home sale and faced more stress by not having a professional representative.
Right.
We know what we're doing. We do this every day. We do it for a living, and we can answer those hard questions. We can navigate those terrible situations oftentimes.
We can take the phone calls. You don't have to take the phone calls on the weekend. That's what we do. So
that's what you pay us for. These respondents reflected on their experience after the transaction, and they admitted that they made some mistakes without the help of a pro. More than a third of non-agent sellers, such as for sale by owner sellers, or those who are selling with an iBuyer, which that's a whole different thing, said the process was more difficult than they expected. Buyers distrusted them because they didn't have an agent, 43%. So buyers don't trust sellers who are selling their own home. They struggled to understand their contract. We read this every day, back and forth, sideways. They made legal mistakes because they didn't use an agent. 36% of them made legal mistakes. And that can end you up in court.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
That can cost you more money in the end. The survey also found other consequences of going it alone. Lower sales price. Homeowners who sold without a real estate agent are three times more likely to say they lost money on their home sale. This clever real estate survey, that's who did it, found that those who sold their home with an agent ended up earning $46,000 more in average profits than those who sold without an agent. 46,000.
by using a realtor.
And that was in 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. Half of unrepresented sellers say they wish they had priced their home differently, and nearly half now believe their home would have sold for more if they would have used an agent. That right there, you've got to, that resonates with us, and it should resonate with every seller.
Yeah.
That oftentimes our commission that we might charge seems like a huge expense. But in the end, if you're making more money after you use an agent, you hire an agent to take care of every single detail besides packing you up and moving you.
That's right.
That's on you. But, and we've helped with that before.
We have.
We've done lots of things that we've had to do. But that is an incredible statistic, Angie.
It really is. And how do they come about their pricing anyway? You know,
Zillow.
Do they use Zillow? Because Zillow is not reliable.
No.
It's not a reliable source.
No.
So I often wonder when it comes to people who are going it alone, how they even come up with that number. And yeah, it can't be a reliable source that they are basing it on.
No, it's Zillow.
Yeah.
And trusting that information. And what a lot of our sellers and buyers don't know is around here, we don't report what we sell for.
Right.
So that could be thousands of dollars off.
Difference. Yep.
And they're averaging it. It's an average of what your neighbor's house is sold for and what your neighbor a mile away that has nothing to do with your house sold for.
Right.
So we want to encourage you, again, call a realtor, call your agent. A few more stats from this article. Longer selling process. Home sellers without an agent are nearly twice as likely to say they didn't accept an offer for at least 3 months. So our average days on market was 36. 53% of sellers who used an agent say they accepted an offer within a month of listing their home. There you go. Ironically, many homeowners who didn't use an agent said the primary reason for going it alone was to sell faster. So they're doing it because they think they can sell for more and faster. And in the end,
they sell for less
and longer. More stress. Half of home sellers, this is interesting. Half of home sellers who did not use an agent said they cried at some point in the process.
Whereas if you hire a realtor, our job is to make sure you don't know
any issues. Exactly, that you're not going to cry.
Yeah, you're not going to cry unless it's happy tears at the end.
Happy tears.
Yeah.
52% of unrepresented home sellers said they felt overwhelmed by the entire process. And on the flip side, homeowners who hired an agent were more likely to say they felt good about their sale and expressed less stress. The last stats of this, 77% of respondents who used an agent said they were satisfied. 72% said they would use their agent again. That's good news.
72, yep.
NAR's 2023 profile of home buyers and sellers found that 89% of buyers and sellers in the last year used a real estate agent, up from the previous year. That's good. Y'all are getting smarter.
Yeah.
Only 7% of homeowners sold as a FSBO over the last year. And that matches the all-time low recorded in 2021, according to NAR data.
Yeah.
So only 7% of you are selling for sell by owner.
Yeah.
So, and that's a very small percent.
It is.
Think about how big these statistics were of how many of them are unhappy.
Right. Right.
The last stat, Angie, is FSBOs sold, and this is the biggest stat, FSBOs sold at a median price of $310,000 in the last year compared to, drum roll, $405,000 for listed homes.
Yeah.
$310,000 compared to $405,000. So
almost $100,000 they left on the table.
Amazing statistic. So I read all of that, and there's a lot of good articles in these magazines sometimes, but that one just really resonated with me of how important our job is.
It is.
We relieve stress so that sellers aren't crying through the process, and buyers.
Yeah.
We're advising on matters that we deal with every day. We know how to deal with inspections, inspectors, getting bids on things. We know how to advise for them to make their best decisions and their biggest decisions as far as negotiating goes.
Right, right.
So we're a package deal.
We are. And the one thing that I would add to that, that I didn't hear any statistics on, and that is safety.
Yes.
If you have someone coming to your house that you don't know and you have no way of vetting whether or not they can even afford to buy your house.
That's right.
That can be in itself, I would think if I were going it alone, that would be my main concern.
Agree.
Is who am I letting in my house? How do I know that they can afford the house or that they're not just casing the place
exactly.
to come back and rob me later?
Exactly.
So at least when you're working with a realtor, that's just part of our job. We're going to make sure that people are pre-qualified, that they are legitimate buyers before they come in your house.
Yes.
So.
And I will mention as well that we have a lot of fraud in our industry.
We do.
And a scary amount, actually. And that is people pretending to be someone they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are not used to vetting people and doing a check on them and making sure that their phone number lines up with who they are mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. they have an address coming from mm-hmm. where they say they were. And, you know, mm-hmm. we just have processes that we go through with everybody and to avoid those fraudulent situations. And unfortunately, it's still happening in our industry.
Right.
And we're trying, everyone collectively, title companies, lenders, realtors, are trying to get a handle on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are more vigilant than ever about safety.
Absolutely.
Because we have to be.
Yes.
Because we don't go alone.
Mm-hmm.
We don't show alone. You should mm-hmm. never let somebody in your house that you don't mm-hmm. know, that is not vetted, that, I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. So we say all of that to give a market update.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I think we covered all of our bases.
I think we did. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a really great selling uh-huh. season in 2024.
Yes.
And we're excited to get it underway. We're excited for spring and summer to get here. Spring's already here, but to get it underway. So
Yeah. So thanks for listening. And thanks to Gershman for letting us record in their studio. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.